Broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for AGH Radio, powered by Business Radio X.
And we are back with AGH Radio, powered by Business Radio X. This is your host, Stone Payton, and we have Lee Cantor in here with us again. How you doing, man?
I am doing well.
I think you are holding up well. You know, we've been talking to a lot of people.
I just had a cookie.
Oh, I see.
That's my secret.
See, I didn't make it all the way to that end of the table. This is going to be a fun segment. We have with us from HR Works, Mr. Kurt Run. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you, Stone?
I am doing well. HR Works, what kind of problems are you out there solving for folks?
Well, we're a national recruitment firm. The majority of our work is done on large-scale events, mergers, acquisitions, new product launches, restructures. But we do individual searches, as you would think of a headhunter as well.
So now, are you bullish or bearish on the employment world?
I think I'm somewhere between the bull and the bear portion. I'd have to say that, you know, our business, I always joke, I said the economy doesn't have to recover, just my economy has to recover.
That's right. But everybody's individual economy.
Right. So we have not seen a lot of activity in the mergers and acquisitions world over the past few years just because there's been so much instability in the marketplace. We are starting to see a pickup. We're seeing companies start to purchase other companies and feel a little bit more bullish about the market. Like I say, I think it's more along the line of years ago, Frank Blake from Home Depot tried to explain their business to me, and he was talking about how it's bad, but it's not going to get worse. And I think that's sort of the way to look at the market. It's, you know, we're sort of used to this level of bad, and so it's starting to look better.
But so you don't think this is the new normal?
I'm hoping the new normal is better than this and continues to head in the direction of the good old days.
Right.
So I do think there's going to be some activity, but unemployment stays, staying extremely high right now. The Fed doesn't think it's going to change dramatically. It takes about 165,000 jobs created every month for a few years before we start to see those triggers when the Fed starts releasing, you know, and changing their money policy. So I think it's going to be relatively steady, which means if it's steady, people can start to make decisions.
So is creating jobs, in your view, any harder than it used to be? Or is it just more important than it used to be? Or does it just get more attention than it used to get?
Well, I think there's a few parts to that. First off, I think creating jobs is harder in this market. And that has to do with employers committing to headcount. If you can't predict the future, you're not going to commit to headcount. So you see a lot of cash on the side and such. But there's other things, including technology, that actually, you know, have always been advantages for us increasing productivity. But now you're seeing where productivity gains potentially eliminate jobs. So if you look at new business startups, a lot of the business startups are one-person, two-person startups.
And the technology is so robust nowadays that you don't need a lot of people.
Right. We built a manufacturing facility for GE in Dallas, Fort Worth area a year ago, locomotive facility, and they have 600 jobs, new jobs in that market. But that's unusual. If we went into a manufacturing facility today, what we would see is a lot of robots and very few people.
Right.
So bringing manufacturing back to the U.S. is certainly an advantage versus it being somewhere else, but it doesn't really equate to the large-scale job gains that you would have seen years ago.
Now, how do you see kind of a younger person or maybe a person that's been downsized, how do they stay relevant in this marketplace with technology changing so fast?
Well, technology and education are critically important. Georgia is very fortunate, and the technical college system of Georgia is really an industry leader in education and has been important to bringing jobs to the state of Georgia. But right now, when we look for positions that have technical skill sets, the people just aren't there. And that's a problem. So if somebody's been outsourced or downsized or whatever you want to call it and they lost a job, the technical skill set, actually being an expert at something right now is highly valued. The days of just being, able to move from job to job is nowhere near as easy as the tight skill sets in the technical market. So I would tell people education and, become an expert at something.
So now, it used to be that people talked about being like a lifelong learner, mm-hmm. and that seemed kind of optional, that some people would have a skill and they'd be able to make it their whole career with that skill. And nowadays, it seems you have to be a lifelong learner. Those are just table stakes now.
Lee, I agree. They are table stakes. In reality, lifelong learning is important. It's always been important. But lifelong relevancy right now is probably the way to look at it. Is, you know, you can't really wish the past to come, you know, back. And so if the skill set that you learned isn't relevant to today, you do need to learn a new skill set.
So now, are you seeing that with all this, with online learning nowadays becoming more and more popular, do you see opportunities for these people that maybe were laid off or downsized to just take the resources that are available and then learn some of these technologies that can make them relevant?
The simple answer to that is yes. There is a question on, you know, the return on that investment. There's a lot of, even traditional colleges now are looking at, you know, the cost of college and student loans and whether there's an ROI on, you know, on that education. So I would be careful to say that, you know, it's important to pursue something that you're passionate about and really love doing, mm-hmm. and then try to find that relevancy. And if you need to learn a new skill set, then you need to learn that skill set. But in that absence of, you know, of just saying I need to go learn, you want to make sure that you're moving.
Aiming right.
Yeah. For instance, like in the state of Georgia, nurses, you know, long haul truck drivers, you know, commercial driver's licenses are in short demand. So if you are picking something to go get a job, then it's relatively easy to pick where the jobs are at. And that might mean going back to school.
So how does this work with HR work? So why am I working through someone like you as opposed to just doing it internally? And then how does that engagement sort of unfold, if you will?
Stone, the way that it works with us is, again, is someone could call us and say, we have a position and can you go recruit this for us? And we certainly can do that, particularly in the city of Atlanta. That's more likely to happen because we might bump into the business here. But in truth, we work across North America, and it's usually event-driven. So there's a new CEO or a new drug launch or a reorganization. We're moving a headquarters from one place to another, and a certain amount of the population won't take that role. In other words, they're either not going to be offered the position in the new market,
right,
or there are actually new openings. So the reason people come out to us is, honestly, they can't do it themselves. And if they go out to a traditional search firm, it's going to be much, much more expensive. You know, you can't really afford to pay headcount. A lot of companies can't afford to pay headcount for one person for a search firm,
right?
But when all of a sudden you need 20 or 200, or in some cases 2,000, it takes a different business model. And HR Works is unique in that space, in that we have proprietary software that was developed now 15 years ago, and our ability to actually scale recruitment and provide quality candidates for an effective cost is important to the CFO, if no one else.
Now, I hear that you're going to be doing a commencement speech at your alma mater?
Yes, Bowling Green State University. It's an interesting, first off, it's a huge honor to be asked to do a commencement speech. Someone asked me, are you going to get an honorary degree? And I told him, I'm pretty sure my first degree was honorary. But I've been asked back, and it's a little bit of a curse, because you have basically 9 minutes to come up with something that's profound. I think I probably spent more time on trying to think of what I'm going to tell these, you know, new graduates.
So you got a sneak peek?
Sure. Sure. Right now, if I had to give the speech right now, I would tell them all that they have a responsibility to create their future. There's no entitlement. There's nothing coming to them. They have an absolute responsibility to create their future. So pick a star on the, you know, horizon and start walking in that direction.
Is there any skills that you would recommend, like you mentioned, kind of nursing in this market and long-distance driving, trucking?
Yeah, there are anything, you know, if you're a welder, you know, if there's a, you know, welding is hard to outsource, right? I mean, it needs a fix, right? So if it can't be outsourced, but otherwise I'd go into the STEM skill sets, you know, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
What about like founding an HR firm?
That's a long shot. That's one in a million, man.
Lee, I've had a lot of bad ideas in life, and HR Works wasn't one of them. So I would tell you, great, bring it on.
So now, is social media changing the way that employees go to market?
It is, from a branding point of view. Certainly,
I'd say it is a double-edged sword.
Yeah, from a
Google is forever, right?
Well, Google hopefully isn't forever for most of these people that have postings out there. But the reality is that it certainly does change the game on an employer side. You know, on a recruitment side, things like LinkedIn are just absolutely wonderful for networking and identifying candidates. On the employer side, the ability to actually control your brand. You know, the genie is out of the bottle. There's no way to stop Twitter or Facebook or anything. So that's a huge challenge, and it really does change the voice from being the voice of the company to the voice of the people. And the voice of the people is pretty loud and doesn't always agree with where the brand's at.
Now, do you have any tips for those people who are looking for a job and when you're out there searching for people, that anything that can help get them on your radar?
The first thing that a lot of people miss out on is they need to apply for a job, right? That seems unusual, but a lot of people assume that career postings and such are for someone else, or putting a resume out on Monster or something like that is something that other people do or only happens at a certain level. In 2006, the regulations changed on compliance for federal contractors, and most of the large employers are federal contractors, and so they have to post their positions. So it's a great place to look. But then it's a personal tip favorite, and you would really help a recruiter out here, is if the position description says that you need to have this experience, and this experience, then the stock resume isn't really the answer. You should take advantage of what's sitting in front of your face and say to yourself, if they're asking for this, this, and this, then I should tell them about this experience. It should be well articulated, because it's too easy to hit delete and just go on to the next resume.
Right.
On the other side is that truth in resumes is critically important, has always been important.
And really?
And in an electronic world, it's pretty easy to write, you know, a new resume to that position description. But it, you know,
you
our job.
You guys really check that stuff?
Our job. That's what they bring us in. That's
too?
What they bring us in.
You check references.
Yeah,
too?
References. There is a lot of testing that goes on. But simply, you know, put is that you really can't have to be able to articulate what's on that resume. And so first you should apply. You should apply with something that matches, so that it's easy for a recruiter to take a look and say, you know, that looks like a pretty good fit. I think I'll talk to that person. And then at that point in time, you need to be able to back it up.
And on the client side, before we wrap up, I want to get some perspective from that side of things. What kind of questions should we ask a recruiter if we're seriously considering engaging their services, or what's a red flag or something we should be looking for? How do you go about interviewing a recruiter to do a good job for you?
I think, you know, that's an interesting question, because there's so many different types of recruiters out there in the market space. So some of it is a question of, do they really understand your company and your culture? You know, there's an argument that anyone could find, you know, an accountant for an accounting firm, and I could tell you if they're a good accountant.
There is not an argument for that.
But by the way, that's one of those jobs you could go, you know, start studying for, because there aren't enough accountants out there in the market. But in reality, they want to really understand how the recruiters are going to qualify these people. And so from that point of view, there should be an understanding of the company. So a good recruiter is going to start with you and talk to you about the position, about what you're looking for in the position, about what the company and the culture is. If they start right off the bat saying, I've got somebody for the job, I'd go find another recruiter.
That sounds like excellent advice.
So best way to learn more about your firm?
You can go to hrworks.com, that's hrworks.com, and take a look at us, and there's contact information on the website as
and
well.
And if you're at Bowling Green State University in May,
drop in,
or you can find me on Twitter at kron.
Kron, K-R-O-N-N, right?
Correct.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of this. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, AGH Radio. We will be back in a few minutes.